אנחנו קוראים בספר עץ החיים.
We are reading in the book The Tree of Life, volume 1, branch 1, page 16, פנים מסבירות of the item 9. Letter 2. And in this we will come to understand what the Kabbalists said in the essence of the soul, and this is what they say. That the soul is a godly part from above, and there is no change in it whatsoever from everything. But in that which the soul is a part and not all, it's similar to a stone which is etched from the mountain, as the essence of the mountain and the mountain is equal. And there's no difference between the stone and the mountain, only by the mountain being part of this mountain, and the mountain is it all. This is the essence of their words. Seemingly, these are contemplative words, but it's very difficult to understand how it's possible to demand a difference and a part of godliness until being similar to a stone that is cut out of a mountain. And when a stone is etched out of a mountain by an axe and a special tool, but in godliness, seemingly, how will they separate one another? You can ask every place that you see, there's a place for a question, please. Meaning there's a matter of how could it be a separation in spirituality, connection in spirituality. In general, it's not understood to us that we're not talking about a place. But it's hard for us to understand that this whole matter is a matter of equivalence of form, an equivalence of qualities. For us, it's according to time and place, a state. And in spirituality, it's only according to equivalence. It's equivalence of qualities of reception and bestowal, as each is similar to the other in the quality of bestowal or in his quality of bestowal. So they're similar in that way. And this is both for sanctity and for impurity. The law operates in both directions. The spiritual ones, who are all in bestowal, according to the degree of bestowal in them, they're close to each other. And the non-spiritual, the specifically those that are in order to receive, it's also the measure of reception in them is where they are incorporated. They become close. Because there's a matter here of whether it's in order to bestow, then they want to bestow to one another, then they get close. But if it's in order to receive, then why are they getting closer to each other when they're in order to receive? Seemingly, it's each wants to receive of his own. So is there a connection between them? Is there closeness between them or not? Actually, yes, because it's a law of equivalence of form. It operates in this direction and in that direction. And before we come into this explanation, we'll explain the essence of the differentiation that happens in spiritual. You should know that spiritual personalities separate from one another only according to their disparity of form. Meaning, if one spiritual matter acquires on its own two forms, he is already no longer one, but two. And I'll explain this to you in the souls of people who are also spiritual. And it's known that the spiritual law, whose simple form is, and this is because there are the multitude of souls, that's the number of the bodies that the souls illuminate in. However, they are differentiated from one another by their disparity of form in each and every one of them. And in the way that our sages said, just as their faces are not equal, so are their opinions not. In the virtue of the body is the possibility to differentiate the form of the souls until differentiating in each soul according to itself that this is a good soul and this is a bad soul, similar to the differentiated forms. And you can see that just in a corporeal matter that divides and is cut away and differentiated with an axe, and its movement and distance of place from one part to another, so it is in the spiritual matter that divides and cuts and differentiated due to the change of form from one part to another. And according to the measure of change, so will the distance be measured from one part to another. And remember that well. Yes? How can a spiritual thing be distanced if a spiritual thing is with the intention to bestow? A distance is very simple. You remain in the place where you are in your qualities, and I change in my qualities, and then I get distanced. All of a sudden I get that I'm distanced, and I grasp your qualities, and I make for myself actions that, so I will be similar to you, so I get closer. It's simple. That's how it is in spirituality. Meaning, if you want to get closer to a friend, you have to try to receive from him that which he loves, you love, what he hates, you hate, and then you'll get closer to him. It's the same with the Creator. That's called according to the form. Okay? Yes? So each remains in his own, and they still equalize. What does that mean, in his own? In his quality. But how could they be? Are you talking about getting closer or not? Approximation. When they get closer to one another. So one of them has to change. Or both. By what would they get closer? Eventually. Does each remain in a form? Or do they... What is a form? Form is the measure of bestow that there is in each and every one. There's one and there's the other. Yes? That's it. Now, each of them understands where he is. But this is great, and this is small. The smaller one wants to get closer to the big one. So he has to acquire the qualities in the great one, and then he moves towards him. What remains from the small one in the end? His qualities. But his qualities, his fundamental qualities remain. That's like we learn in free choice. Yes? That there's the essence and so all that. But upon them, he acquires corrections, like in the big one. Those basic qualities, when will they reach equivalence? Is there no equivalence of form on them? On the fundamental ones? They never change. Never. No, never. Let's say... These are seeds, not seeds. Let's say this is... wheat and barley. The wheat wants to give you, as you are here, the same pleasure like the barley. So it wants to get close to the wheat in its such qualities that give you the same pleasure. The form is in a third place. The form is the measure of bestowal. But each is with his qualities, the upper and the lower. Of course, no one could change his qualities. So where's the place of equivalence of form? In external qualities that they acquire. It's like a new place, a third place. No, it's not a place. The distance between them is a disparity of form between them. But if each of them wants to resemble the other in mutual bestowal, then they adhere, even though this remains wheat and this remains barley. In that, none of them changes. They're both different and they're both equal. And there's no state in the end where everything becomes one. Was one, yes, but according to what one? According to the fact that each wants to bestow with all his might. So the great one and the small one are equal because each, in a relative manner, does 100%. And then there's no difference between the great one and the small one. Yes. And what's the basic unit? You said each has his fundamental, that's his essence. What's that essence that's the smallest cell? That's what the Creator created. The basic will to receive that cannot be any other way. That doesn't disappear or get lost. And that will to receive is one. What is one? Is there one will to receive, or each has? There's one will to receive, which is included of billions and billions of small little wills to receives. So the wheat doesn't want to be barley. She wants to bestow like. She can't want to be wheat. There is no such thing. There is no such thing in nature. There isn't. I can't. There is no such deficiency that in one, there'll be a deficiency to be the other. To be like the other, yes. But to be the other, no. In what, like the other? I don't know. It's good for him. He gets respect, a lot of money. Doesn't matter what. But like the other. So how does the wheat isolate its envy to the barley only according to the quality of bestowal and not towards the essence of the light or the natural qualities? No, towards the essence it doesn't belong. I'm telling you, it only has to do with her expression or her appearance, her place, the measure of bestowal in it, how she is towards the public, how she is towards the Creator, towards the purpose of creation. That's what we measure towards. But it's a certain impression she has towards the measure of bestowal she has, and that's it, and that's what she's impressed by and wants to be and bestow by that. That's what she's envious of and wants to be like her. Yes. And in what does she not envy? Is she not envious? What is it prohibited to envy? It's not that it's prohibited. You're allowed with everything. Only that she can't be envious of his essence. You can envy that which could be in you, from the lack that can awaken in you. But the deficiency that you're saying, that it's a deficiency of the essence, that does not exist. Can you isolate that impression? That only bestowal we need to be impressed by? Relative to reception? No, relative to the natural quality. No, because you don't have any approach to the natural approach. Do you understand that or not? But usually I'm envious. I say Dudi, he's quick. I want to be quick like him. I will never be quick like him. But I want to envy of his measure of bestowal towards the society. But that's not his essence. You're confused. It's not the matter, the essence. Those are qualities that he has. And you can reach those qualities as well, so you will have them. There's no problem with that. But you want to say it this way. We have the matter, the essence. There are qualities that are born from the essence. You have qualities that he receives from the society. And so on. Yes, like we learned, there's these four details. So that's what you want to scrutinize from. I want to scrutinize what is worthwhile to envious of a friend. But what I can do, the measure of bestowal on him, that's it. I don't understand how to isolate that, if at all. Is it possible to isolate that and say, that's his measure of bestowal, that's what I'm jealous of? Yes, towards the group, it's very simple. So that's not what's not clear to me. How is that scrutiny done? Of being envious of the measure of bestowal and not the natural other qualities. You can't be envious of natural qualities, only towards the group. What's with you? The measure of bestowal is concealed, so how can you measure it? You can't measure it yet, no. But you can see how much he's bestowing, and also you're bestowing. Well, what do you want now, to already engage in measurements? In sfirot? In values, in degrees. It's still early. Well? Okay. Yes? So I understand that the power of the bestowal does not differentiate the form, the spiritual form. Meaning I can be small with my power of bestowal, and I can be similar to the one who's greater than me in the power. Not equal, like resembling. Yeah, so what's the imagination between the upper and the lower, the bigger and the greater, that the smaller and that are similar? And what exactly am I getting closer? In what quality, according to the measure of your bestowal, you become similar to him or not, equal to him or not, opposite of him? The measure is not the power, the volume, the number of actions. Let's say if I do dissemination, it's not the amount of dissemination I do. Quantity, quality, it doesn't matter. According to that, you measure. But again, also when you measure that, so in spirituality, it's not exactly that way, because in spirituality, we measure in a common denominator kind of form for the soul, where he knows how to do this according to his essence, he's capable, and the other not so much so. So there's always corrections upon those things, because each is in the general soul. In well, if he's filling his place, he's whole. Whole is one thing, but the question is whether he's closer to the other part. Meaning, if there is, let's say, a great Kabbalist who did many things, I don't know, the power of his bestowal is very good. Someone wants to adhere to him, but he's small, let's say, from his power. What does he have to do to adhere to him? To adhere, that's different. To adhere, you can according to your small action. So what in my small action is makes me resemble or similar to the great compass? Devotion. Devotion to the big one is enough for you. You're already adhered by that. We don't yet understand or differentiate these discernments, but it's not complicated. Yes. Item Gimel 3. Although still it hasn't been placed for us, but in this world, in the souls of people, but in the matter of the soul, where it was said about it that it's a godly part from above, it still has yet to be clarified how it's differentiated from godliness, so it can be called a godly part. And one should not say that it's due to disparity of form, or God forbid to say so, and we've already chosen that godliness is a simple light, which includes the multitude of forms and opposite forms in the world, and in its simple unification in the secret of one unique and special. If so, how will it depict to us the form of disparity of form in the soul to be different to godliness, and due to that be differentiated from acquiring there apart from it? In truth, this difficulty is noted in the light of Ein Sof prior to the restriction, and it's clarified in Panim Meirot, as this is the reality that's before us. All the upper worlds and the lower ones together are discerned in two afhanot. The first one is the form of all this reality in the form of the Tzimtzum, and then everything was without any limits or end or sof, and the discernment is called the light of Ein Sof. This second discernment is the form of all of reality, which came from the restriction downwards, by which everything is in the measure and the limits, and this discernment is called the four worlds, Atzilut Bria Yetzira Asiya. And it's known that his Atzmuto has no perception whatsoever, and there is no name or appellation to it, and all that we do not attain, how should we define it by name? And every name is considered an attainment. And how would we do it so that we will be able to reach that? That's why it was important for us to realize that all the names and appellations are only in his light, which spreads from him. As this expansion of his light from him prior to the restriction, which he filled all of reality without limits, is called Ein Sof. And what we should understand that in the light of Ein Sof is defined and came out of his essence until we could define by name as we ask with the neshama. Okay?
Good.
For the time being, there's no question here. Yes. Item 4. And to understand by no means what this high place, sublime place is, we need to expand on matters. And we will investigate in the pole of each of this reality, this whole reality before us and its general essence, as is there an operated without an operator? And if so, what is this essence? As due to its reason, the whole reality before us was invented by him, the upper worlds and the lower ones. Although our sages showed us in many places that all the worlds were created but for Israel who observed Torah and Mitzvot. And this is well published. We need to understand in this, and this question of our sages who asked about this, if the intention of the creation of the world is in order to delight his nature, his creatures, then why would he create this world, this corporeal gray world without filled with sufferings, where he could have delighted the souls as much as he wanted, seemingly? And why did he bring the soul to this obscured body and this impure place? And the idea was one should eat and see and be in that way, meaning that in any free gift there is a blemish of shame, and to prevent that from the souls, the Creator created this world where there's a reality of work. And it turns out that they enjoy in the future from the efforts of their hands, because they get their reward from a hole prior to their arriving and are saved by that from the blemish of shame. Clear? Meaning, a certain state was given called the workplace, and for the exertion, we receive the reward. It's a known thing. It's clear to us. It's not that we part from this world and die, we receive something, but rather we do work, we receive a reward. We don't do the work, we don't get the reward. And the work is seemingly without any connection to this life. Yes. And their words are very difficult around and around. And at first it's hard. The essence of our trend and prayer is from the treasure of, if the idea is to save us from the free gift, meaning that the free gift is given to us only for the greater souls in the world. And it's much more difficult that they're implying is that they excuse that the gift of the free gift has a great lack, meaning the shame of face which is in each receiver of a free gift. And this completion needs to be done by him that he created this world, which has the reality of exertion and work. And in the next world, they will get their reward, and prior to their toil, they receive what they get. There's a state in this world, a state in which we work with our will to receive, which is not yet corrected, and we need to correct it in order to bestow. Because we begin to work with it in order to bestow, it's called that we seemingly are moving to another world, a spiritual world where we receive the reward. And what is the reward there? The fact that we can work in order to bestow, to bring contentment. Yes? And their excuse is very contemplative. And why is this similar to a person who says to his friend, work with me for a little moment, and for that I will give you all the pleasures of the world, and you'll all get all the delight there is your whole lifetime. And there is no greater free gift than that, because the reward has no equivalence with the work. And after all, the work is in this world, in a world that passes, that has no value of anything relative to the reward and pleasure of an eternal world. For what value is there to the quantity of the world that is passing to the quantity of the eternal world? And there's no sense in saying about the quality of the effort relative to the value of nothing to the quality of the reward. As it is said, in the future the Creator is to give an inheritance to each and every righteous 310 worlds. And one should say the sum of the reward that he gives, even though they worked, but the rest is as a gift, a free gift. So what was the benefit of the sages that they were correcting? Meaning the blemish of shame remains in the gift. But these things are not understood as they are simple, but there's a deep intention. Do you understand what he's asking? He's saying, how could it be that you will work here in this world and receive after that eternity, for all eternity, something that is the whole next world? How is that possible? After all, you still remain like that way in the shame. So how could it be that for your little work in this world, you receive the next eternal world, the great world? Clear? Okay, so he didn't write on purpose, so people understand that it's not as simple as we think in religion, but that to the extent in which you observe Torah and mitzvot and do things, you nevertheless don't reach the reward of the next world. But how do you do this? As it is written, you will see your world in your lifetime. That you must, in this lifetime, in this world that you're in, you have to attain the spiritual world. And then you attain your reward for your effort. Is that clear? Well, it's still not understood. Where does the correction cover the shame? The shame becomes honor. How's that? I don't understand. The shame is the matter of the expression of love of the Creator. Yes? Then in Bchinat Dalet it discovers that the Creator is truly... Yes, that's the root of the shame. But after that, it's not that. After that, it's not so. After that, the shame is how much if I'm capable to give, if I'm able to give my exertion and I didn't give, that's what I have shame upon. If I'm not capable, if the small one's not ashamed, only the big one is ashamed that he could have done some kind of action and he didn't do it. How does this transition happen as a result of the revelation of the Creator, or the place that I didn't exert where I could have? And the answer is by the restriction. Why? I don't understand yet. Why does this transition happen? Why does the correction of the shame not need to be against what was awakened about to start with? Because that's what the restriction was made upon. The restriction occurred that needs to be... Are you talking about the four pchinot, or are you talking about with us here? Well, after all, we're a result. No, you're not a direct result. No. That's your confusion. We are not a direct result of the four phases of direct light from Ein Sof. I'm sorry, you're in an opposite nature. So what's the point of inversion here in this process from below up, upwards? What? The shame can be in a place where you're capable, but you're not doing. And the place that you're not capable, there's no shame. Is that clear or not? That's clear, but how does that become the root of the shame? The root of the shame? That's above. That's true. Towards the Creator, as He is bestowing 100%, and I can't bestow. That's what caused Tzimtzum Aleph. That's the root of the shame. Now, to our point here, the shame, not the egoistic shame, but the shame for a creator's server, is the difference between desirable and what exists. Where I'm capable of doing 20 kilos and in order to bestow, and I didn't do that. Why didn't I do? I didn't put forth enough exertion, but I could have given. I could have gotten closer to my friends. I could have invited the reforming light. I didn't do that. And then I'm in a lesser result than that which I received those conditions. And that's what I have shame about. And this is against what? Against which root? Against the same root? How? It's like a correction that sounds completely different. Here, upon what I... Was I there before the Balabait? Was I there before the Creator? In the first restriction? Before the first restriction. Did I feel that I'm receiving from Him everything? Yes. I wanted to receive from Him in order to bestow. I felt from Him the shame. Yes. Meaning shame is a matter of a disparity of form. But only there was the shame that I didn't start to work yet. Only according to the disparity of form. Here the shame with us is that I could have come to equivalence and I didn't do it. Because I'm opposite Him. Because I'm opposite of Him and because there's an order to the degrees. If I'm in degree number 20, then I have shame only on until that point, until degree 20. No more than that. I can't jump. I'm not ashamed for... I'm in first grade and I have someone I know in fifth grade and he knows all kinds of things and I'm ashamed that I don't know. I'm not ashamed. That's not my degree. To be ashamed is a degree that you could have, where they can say to you, what's with you? Where are you? That you, towards the details that you're receiving from the Creator, you're not executing. That's what the shame's upon. It's only relative towards a person. Therefore, you can't say, where it's written there, you won't be asked, why weren't you... Rebzushi is there, someone says it. Why weren't you Moses? Why didn't you, like they say, why weren't you like you? That's what you'll be asked. Okay? Please ask. Yes, Baruch. Quickly and to the point. In the matter of shame. If I feel that this is my state, that I can, and I can't do exertion 100% as much as I can, and I feel that it's not good, and I don't agree with it, how do I come out of such a state? It's not enough that I feel that it's not good for me, and anything you want to correct is to correct through connection. That's it. But there needs to be exertion in the connection, and I feel that I'm not doing the exertion about connection. You're talking about the solution is connection. It's like a circle here. Meaning I'm in a 10 and I know that I'm supposed to give forth exertion in connecting to them, so I will do greater corrections and I can't connect with them. Yes? I can't enter into more connection with them. What should I do? Yes, what to do? Yeah. You can't connect with them in your heart or in the work in your hands and your feet. No, hands and feet, that's not a question, but internality. Rav says, so do with that, start working. That's why we're in this world and not in the spiritual world. Start working in this world. Dissemination, run for them, do for them. Pick them up for the lesson, do everything. You'll see how beneficial that is, more than all of your intentions. More than all your intentions. Okay. All right. Yochai wants to ask something? No? No? Okay, that's good too. So let's continue a little bit more. We're on page 18 in the middle and prior to. And the, prior to entering the clarification of their words, we need to understand in the thought of his essence and the creation of the world and the reality that's before us. As his the actions have not come before him in the way of the multitude of thoughts like we do, because he is the creator, is one, unique and special. And just as he is simple, so are the lights that extend from him. They're simple and unique, without no multitude of forms. As it is written, "For it's not my thoughts that are your thoughts, and not your ways are my ways," and so forth. Hence, you should understand and learn all the names and appellations, and all the upper worlds and all the lower ones. Everything is one unique and special, simple light. And about the Creator, the light which extends, and the thought and the action and the operator, and all that the heart can think and contemplate, for him, are simply, truly one thing. According to that, you will judge and be educated that one thought was emanated and created for all of this reality, both the upper and the lower together, until the end, in the end of correction. As that one thought is what operates on everything, and it is the essence of all the actions, and it receives the essence, and it is the essence of the exertion, and it itself is the reality of all perfection and the hoped for reward, as the Ramban implied in the secret of the one unique and special. Meaning there's no matter here of worlds, there's no matter of changes, we are in the same state, we're in the same place, everything depends only on our exertion. That's it. There's no life here, death here, all kinds of... everything depends only on our efforts and how we connect between us and to the Creator. Yes. Meaning, as the Ari says, and the Rav explains in the first chapters of this book on the matter of the first restriction, in the matter of the harshest of the harshest, in the matter that necessarily all the corruptions and all the lacks extend and come from him. And as it is written, the creator of light and the maker of darkness. And here the corruptions and the darkness are the true oppositeness to him. And how is it possible for them to extend from one another? And how do you come together with the light and the light in the thought of creation? And one should not say about the two thoughts that are special and unique. God forbid we shouldn't say or contemplate such a thing. And how all of those lights extend from him until this world where there are torments and great impurity, and how they're corrupted together in the one thought. But these aren't such things like that, like we think them, but simply we are in equivalence of form and we feel good. We're in disparity of form. According to that measure, we feel bad. As only we feel this way according to our equivalence of form towards the Creator. That's the matter of the concealments, the worlds, and degrees, different changes, and so forth. And all that we can talk about, we talk about only in the changes in us, in the degrees in us, in our concealments, in us, inside the created beings only. And not even in the created beings, but if we're going to be even more precise, in the one creature. Who's the one creature? Each of us can say, "I am the created being." And all the rest are not the created beings. Okay? Yes. Adam 5. No, wait, what did you want to ask? A little question about shame. After the first restriction, when the shame was seemingly disappeared, because he stopped receiving in order to receive. Only for myself. No, it didn't disappear. The shame is always inside and maintains him, and he wants to maintain himself in equivalence of form. He makes a calculation according to what he can receive in order to bestow and so on. Meaning the shame is inside the calculation. does it change? Because the desire constantly changes in its development from below up, from above downwards. Yes, it changes, certainly, according to each degree. It is as a condition. Otherwise, he wouldn't be able to do any calculation. But he already blocked it in the first restriction. The first restriction does not get cancelled. Also what? But he has to keep the first restriction in every degree. It's not that you close the tap and that's it. The creature is alive. He's constantly the will to receive, constantly working, and he has to observe restriction, masach, or chozer in each pevrosh of each partzuf. I'm not observing the Tzimtzum Aleph right now, right? We're not talking about you. You don't belong. You don't exist. You're talking about Ein Sof, from which there's the descent of these states. So what are you talking about yourself for? So shame develops together with... Shame is all the time inside the created being. All the time. Even in our world, it takes on just a different form. More? You want? Well, ask. Good evening, my teacher. Good evening. Rav, it's about dissemination. What he talked about right now, yes? Lately, it's running in my head a lot. I have a desire to explode this country, but not in campuses and boring things, but really, really blow it up. Well, there's many people who want to blow up our country, so, but from the good side of things. Yes, well, I have a few things that are kind of running in my head, but it's for a different time. So you need to call the people who do dissemination, who are responsible for that, and talk to them. I am not so much in those things. For me, the whole day is divided to the morning lesson, tweeter, all kinds of such things, recordings, studio, and evenings here. And no, things are being built. That's not the matter. It's me doing it, so it will be. Nevertheless, my teacher, one day we will really be able to use this crater to do benefit by something. Of course, think how you're going to use him in order to advertise his name. Yes, this is, I don't know how to say this, but we need benefit from all of this. Benefit. The benefit is that you will be able to do it for the benefit of the whole world. You want the world to appear good and see good, that the force of good, the connection, the love will be dwelling in the world. Then advertise it. No. Yes. Well, let's continue. Item 5. Now we shall come to the clarification in the form of the thought of creation. And this is certainly that the end of a thought is in the initial, the end of the action is in the initial thought. Because even in a corporeal man with many thoughts will also come the end of the act in his initial thought. Meaning if a person simply has got a good healthy thought, you're always thinking, what does he want and what does he need to do in order to get what he wants that is desirable. It's the same thing with the Creator, meaning we exist for the Creator in the end of correction, each in his place, a corrected place that's nice and good, and this already exists. But we need to discover our existing state, how to come to him slowly, in correcting ourselves, only in order to rid ourselves from the shame. Yes? On the way of an allegory, when he engages in building his home, we understand that the initial thought that he thought during this contemplation, he's thinking about a form of a house that he will sit in. And therefore, it's still early to have the multitude of thoughts and actions until he completes that form that he thought of in advance. And that form comes at the end of all of his actions. And you can see that at the end of the act is in the initial thought. And here, the end of the act is the pole and the essence for which all of this was created. Meaning to delight his creatures, as it is written in the Zohar. And it's known that his thought completes and operates immediately, and it's not a person that should be committed and to every kli and action, but that thought finishes itself and every action immediately comes after it. But according to what we immediately comes into the calculation of the every matter of creation to delight his creatures, it immediately continues and extends this light from him to him, all his color and all his levels and all the height of the delights that he thought of. Because all of this is included in that thought, which we call the thought of creation. Understand this well, because the place where they said we should shorten, meaning all the light of Ein Sof comes to the Creator, 620 times what we talk about, which is worthy for the souls at the end of correction after they do all their work, maximum that they can do, all of that is already ready for them, everything they need to attain, and they are actually in that state. Only what do they need? To wake up, to recover, to open their eyes, and discovered that they are in this state, in the world of Ein Sof. And therefore, all the degrees, all the worlds that we are attaining along the way, we correct, clean off our kelim, in order to feel where we truly are. Is that clear? There are no questions. What, Rachamim, are you asking about this or not? Well, it's written here, a person is not meant to be in a kli of action. If he's not obligated, why did he create a kli to be created in this world? And it'll take him years upon years in order to become similar like him. I don't know. I don't ask about that. I stopped long ago to ask, because I want to execute what the Creator tells me to do, because only in such a way I do in order to bestow. Okay, I will learn from you. It's worthwhile. In that, it's worth it. It's written that way also. How can you, knowing the work where you want to reach the essence, ask, why did you make the path so hard for me? You need to be thankful that he gave you more difficulty and more difficulty and more difficulty, as upon each of these difficulties you can express your devotion. Or not. Yes. How is it right to divide your time in the evening between the lesson and dissemination? I don't know. But if the dissemination is correct, it's more beneficial than the lesson. Or at least, let's say, once a week, twice a week, for a person to go to disseminate. Yes. How do I know if it's right or not? I don't know what to say. We need, without dissemination, you cannot advance. Look at what Baal HaSulam writes, how much the world necessitates correction, and we need to push him to it. I feel like I'm stealing from here. If I remain here, I steal from there. And if I stay at home, I'm stealing. You need to be at home maybe once or twice a week, and to be in dissemination once or twice a week, and to be here once, two, 3 days a week also. That's what you have all your life. What can you do? Yes? That's life. Okay? We came to, and this is what the Ari says? Very well, we will stop here. And guys, we're advancing. We're progressing. Each time we're trying to nevertheless answer something else. The main thing is the persistence. And no matter what, even though we have all the difficulties, and we'll have more, we're continuing in the same direction for connection and adhesion to Him, connection between us and adherence to Him.
שבתחים גם יחד הנה מה טוב שבתחים גם יחד הנה מה טוב מנעים שבתחים גם יחד הנה מה טוב מנעים שבתחים גם יחד הנה מה טוב שבתחים גם יחד הנה מה טוב שבתחים גם יחד.